I want to reiterate the invitation for the cookout tonight. I love the weather. It's going to be very cool. So I think it's the first time in the history of the cookouts that I've packed jeans instead of shorts to wear. So that's a good thing. But if you know anybody, come on out. As much as I love extra hot dogs that are grilled, they're one of my favorite things to reheat. I'll gladly take them home with me, but I would rather they all be gone into some hungry bellies tonight. But I'd like to greet you this morning in the name of Christ, our great God and Savior, who's delivered us from the clutches of sin and death and has delivered us into his eternal kingdom. Be my desire that you would find something in this message, a little nugget of truth, a small gem of his mercy, something that you could use to help in the days to come. Life is challenging. God's given us his word to sustain us. So I've titled this message, Communication Breakdown, and it's come from a few experiences in my life over the last several months, sort of humorous experiences, which all got me to thinking there's probably something that I could put together for a sermon and all this. But the first came when our lane got washed out with the tragic flood of June 11th. Many of you who live here remember that day, a day as that will live in infamy in my life. But I tried to do the right thing and call the post office and say, our lane's washed out. Don't try and deliver a package because you won't be able to get through. And I called and talked to somebody on the other end, and they said, okay, we'll let them know, whoever. Well, a couple days go by and get a little note in the mailbox that I have a package at the post office. I went to pick it up, and they said, next time your lane washes out, it'd be good if you tell us beforehand. So I said, well, I said I did tell someone, probably someone in this very office, but it never got relayed. It was a communication breakdown. A couple weeks later, we had a terrible lightning storm. We've been having a lot of storms. Phone got destroyed. Internet was out, and the phone company is very good at not giving you a good idea of when they're going to be there, between 8 and 5. Well, they showed up about lunchtime, right after I had left the house, so I had to go back. Again, I had communicated with the people. Kara had talked to someone on the phone. I had talked to somebody via their online messaging. It may have been a robot. I don't know who it was, but I expressly said, make sure you tell the driver our lane is washed out. Because, well, I get there, and the driver sort of disgruntled because I went down your lane, and their lane was washed out. Nobody told me. I said, I told the people on the other end. He said, they never tell me anything. So he was a good, jovial man, and we had a good laugh about it. But again, it was a communication breakdown. And the last incident I'll relay to you is a truck broke down on the back lane, so it was still at our property, but it wouldn't start, so it had to get towed. Called the tow truck company, local company, somewhere in the area. I told the dispatcher, be sure you have the driver call me, because the lane had since been fixed, so it wasn't a lane issue, but it was the location of the truck. They had to come in a different route to get to it, or if they came up to my house, it would not be good because they couldn't get to the truck. Make sure you have the driver call me. Yep, we'll do. I let the dog out, started barking. Several hours later, the dog started barking. Here come a tow truck. Running up the driveway, and it wasn't a little tow truck. It was the flatbed kind, the big, probably, 25, 20, 30 foot. I don't know how long it was. I said, the truck is up there. I point, you can see it, but there's no way. I told them to call you, to have you call me. Nobody told me. Communication breakdown. Long story short, we got him to where he could get to it. But all the three instances exemplify that just because I told someone something doesn't mean they relayed the message to the person that needed to know. All three instances were communications breakdown, and that's what this message is titled. So I got 2 points, and it's dealing mainly with the idea of prayer. This is where I sort of, the direction I chose to take it. But the first point is the prayer of the unbeliever. And it comes from the verse, I've got two verse selections, but the first is Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Acts chapter 4, verse 12, sort of laying the groundwork here of what I want to get to. But the point is the prayer of the unbeliever. Peter is filled with the Holy Spirit here, Peter and John. I believe it's Peter who's speaking, and he's saying in verse 12, speaking about Jesus Christ, our Savior, he says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. So Peter's addressing these people, saying that salvation is found in no one else except Jesus Christ, because there's no other name under heaven given to us by which we must be saved. And the second reference comes from 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. It's sort of similar in what it's saying, but again, it's exemplifying the fact that Jesus is our way to be reconciled to God. 1 Timothy 2, chapter 2, verse 1 to 8. Paul speaking, I urge you then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone. Sort of summing up the whole concept of prayer here. For kings and all those in authority that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, verse 5 here, one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men, the testimony given in its proper time. And for this purpose I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying, and a teacher of the true faith to the Gentiles. I want men everywhere to lift up holy hands in prayer without anger or disputing. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, which is Jesus Christ. So that's the foundation I want to build here as we talk about the prayer of unbeliever, those who don't know Christ. As Christians, we're literally Christ followers. That's the sum of what Christian means. We believe and understand that Jesus Christ reconciles us to a right relationship with God. He's the only one who can do this. And we live in a time, I think, it's happened ever since man is created, but I think we live in a specific time now where men and women and everybody of creation run around with a form of godliness, as the Bible says, but deny the power thereof. People enjoy being very spiritual in their lifestyles or how they believe. We're spiritual beings, so that comes out in all people one way or another. But we live in a time where people are very quick to be spiritual, but they deny the power, they deny Jesus Christ, the very one and only one who can save. They're completely separated from the one true God. There was an account, and I can't remember what book I read it from. I wish I could give credit where credit's due, but I can't. It's up in my head, so it's like some of you. It's a jumbled mess up there sometimes. But it was the account of a soldier in, I believe it was World War II, as the battle was approaching where he was, in probably a foxhole, but the battle was getting intense. And he said he prayed to every god, every religion that he knew, just so he would be sure to get the right one. That's, to me, it's sort of a mindset of many people today. They don't necessarily care which god or which religion they pray to, as long as they're perceived as being spiritual. There was an account, a Methodist university in Winchester, Virginia, they recently hired a Muslim chaplain. So this is what traditionally had been a Christian university, a college that taught Christian doctrine, recently hired a Muslim chaplain, which boggled my mind.
But it's further emphasizing the reality that we live in a time where the term is religious pluralism. Religious pluralism, the idea that all roads lead to heaven, all religions are basically the same. But the only prayer that I believe God hears from an unbeliever is a prayer of repentance. We have people everywhere claiming to be spiritual, claiming all sorts of religions, all sorts of gods, all sorts of deities, whatever you have you. But it's my opinion that the only prayer that God hears from an unbeliever is the prayer of brokenness, repentance, and calling out to Christ for healing and salvation. Jesus himself said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The idea that all religions lead to heaven or they're all part of the same God is ridiculous. But that's the mindset of many people today. Many people in the church, too, I believe, have this mindset. Again, it's not to be hostile towards someone that doesn't believe like you. But Christ himself said he is the way to be reconciled to God. Religions, all religions do not teach the same thing. Therefore, they are not all right. The prayer of the unbeliever. You have people everywhere praying to what they perceive to be God. But I believe God only hears the prayer of brokenness and crying out for forgiveness from the unbeliever. And God will send help. What came into my mind was the Ethiopian eunuch. If you recall in Acts chapter 8, you have an unbeliever searching the scriptures, having questions in his mind. What does all this mean? Who did God send? Was it Philip? Was it Philip? God sent Philip to answer this man's questions. God will always send help to a person that truly is seeking the forgiveness and healing that comes only through Jesus Christ. I mentioned before, too, a book I had read called Brusco. And what struck me in this book, it was a group of Indians living in somewhere in South America, natives of the rainforest down there, the Amazon, totally unreached people. And they had their own religion. They had their own form of sacrifices and everything. But it wasn't good enough. They felt that they were missing God, and it was tearing them apart. And they were crying out. They didn't necessarily know who they were crying out to, but they were crying out to God to show them the truth. And it's an amazing account of a missionary that, you know, was shot and drugged and barely made it there alive. But he spread the truth of Jesus Christ to them in a way that they could understand it. And it's a terrific book if you enjoy reading. It's called Brusco. God will send help to an unbeliever who really, truly, desperately wants forgiveness and to find God. Thought of the example of calling 911. We're all familiar with 911, I'm sure. I had a nephew that, don't ever do it, but he was a young child and he thought it would be funny to call 911 and see what would happen. And they take it very seriously. He got in big trouble, learned a good lesson. But when I'm in help, when I'm in a desperate situation, I know I can dial 911, and that is a direct link to whoever be at the other end is going to take my request and send help immediately. I understand that. I think we all understand that. That's our direct link to emergency help. Now, I could dial any other numbers, combination of numbers I can think of. I could dial till my fingers fell off. But I wouldn't get through to the people I needed to get through to. A loose example of, I think, people who prayed all sorts of gods through all sorts of religions, they can do it to they lose their voice. The only way to get to God is through Jesus Christ. Just like the only way to get help is to dial 911. Doesn't do me much good to dial any other number when I'm in desperate need. Maybe my wife, but she'd probably be at work and wouldn't answer. So I think this is true for the unbeliever. You can pray to all sorts of things, all sorts of religions, anything you want to. You can pray to, they used to pray to blocks of wood or pieces of stone. They can do it till you're blue in the face, but until you cry out to the one true God through Jesus Christ, I don't believe you will be heard. Some examples that came to mind, the Old Testament, the prophets on Mount Carmel. If you recall Elijah, he's trying to say, hey, if Baal be God, then prove it. So they cried out to Baal. They did all their ceremonial shouting and dancing and whatever they did. Elijah actually mocked them, said, maybe your God is sleeping. He might be, maybe you need to wake him up. So they yelled all the louder, started slashing themselves, and Baal was not God. Baal did not hear. Elijah, calmly, as I read the account, very calmly and deliberately called to the one true God, and God answered him. Jesus referenced the religious leaders in John chapter 8. Now, these are religious people. These are praying people, religious leaders of the time, who Jesus often had confrontations with. He referenced them in John chapter 8. I told you, he said, that you would die in your sins. Now, he's telling Israel's teachers, leaders, this. Very bold. Jesus said, I told you that you would die in your sins if you do not believe that I am the one I claim to be. If you don't believe this, you will indeed die in your sins. These were praying people. These were religious people. And Jesus is telling them, you're going to die in your sins if you don't believe that I am who I say I am. How powerful. Both then and now, when we are faced with a culture that's very spiritual, but denying the power thereof, denying the one true God. Jesus said, you will indeed die in your sins. He went on to say that they were following their father who was, he said, the devil. You're following a different person. You're not following God. You're following your father, the devil. That's what he told these religious leaders, which we did not go over very well. But that's what he's telling each one of us today when we reject Christ and follow other things. We're not following God. If you're trying to get to God through some other way, it will not work. You might feel spiritual. You might have positive energy or truly be communicating with spiritual beings. The devil himself masquerades as an angel of light. I'm not saying what you're experiencing is not genuine in your own mind. I believe you're communicating with spiritual beings, just not God. Again, religious pluralism. If you accept the idea that all religion leads to God, you must utterly reject the Bible. You must utterly reject Jesus. It's a time when Christians are in a challenging spot because it's very appealing to want to accommodate the culture and accommodate others and embrace other beliefs, but the Christian follows Christ. And there's no exception. If you desire to know God, you will need to cry out to Him. You'll need to cry out to Christ in repentance and brokenness. So that's sort of my quick grasp of the prayer of the unbeliever. You might differ in your understanding, but I believe God hears the prayer of the unbeliever only when they cry out to Him for salvation. Which brings the next point, the prayer of the believer, the ones that have cried out to Christ for salvation. The Bible says we were dead in our transgressions. We've been given new life in Jesus. And that's a life of relationship to God. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Romans 8, 26 to 28. A couple of verses here. And the Bible's full of so many verses to choose from. It's hard to just pick a few, but for the sake of time, I did. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. And we know, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. So the Holy Spirit searches our minds. He understands the things we don't even say. Jesus said in John chapter 9, "My sheep hear my voice." One of my favorite passages. "My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me." He says, "I grant them eternal life, that they should never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand." He says, "My Father who's given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." One of my favorite, most meaningful verses that Jesus uttered. I love it. But Jesus says it, "My sheep hear my voice." Prayer to the believer is about relationship. We have come from death to life. When we meet Jesus, we enter into a relationship with God Almighty. We have a relationship with God, therefore, we can communicate with God. We have a relationship with God, therefore, we can communicate. Now, this verse made me imagine maybe a father in a crowded room, maybe a room this big, maybe bigger, but a father in the room full of children. And if you've ever been in a room with children, especially varying age, it gets quite loud, and they're all competing for each other to see who can scream the loudest. But my point is, that father will be able to pick out their own child's voice. In the midst of the clamor and all the din of children crying out, that father will be able to pick out that distinct voice of that child. Jesus knows our voice. Prayer is born out of relationship. It's a very powerful thing to think of. When we pray, we often lose sight of the fact. But Jesus hears our voice. He knows our voice. He recognizes our unique voice, just like we recognize him. "My sheep hear my voice. I know them." Another way I look at the prayer of the believer is, I imagine a powerful figure, maybe a king or a dignitary, someone powerful, if you can imagine a powerful figure. President or a king, I don't really have a specific title, but someone who's very powerful, who I happen to be a dear friend of. A person that's power beyond imaginability, yet I happen to be a friend of. And in the midst of a grand ball or ceremony full of dignitaries and people all tugging at this powerful person's sleeve trying to get their attention. But I walk in and that person sees me, this powerful figure sees me, and he recognized me as a friend. And I'm ushered into his presence just because I'm his friend. You have all these people tugging at the sleeves trying to get an audience with him, but he recognizes me as a friend and ushers me. And this, to me, is also an example of how God views us during prayer. God listens to me because I am his friend. You have people everywhere trying to claim all these things about God, but yet God sees me amidst all these people, and he says, "There's my friend. I'm going to listen. I want to hear what he has to say." Again, very powerful, because prayer is born out of relationship. It's not some dead ritual we do. It's born out of relationship. Paul says in Romans chapter 8 that the nature of the believer to God is so close and intimate that God hears the groans of our soul. We don't even have to utter it. Because prayer is born out of relationship, he hears us. He knows what we need before we can even say it. When you're born again, when the Holy Spirit lives in you, when you trust in Christ for your salvation, when you have a renewed relationship with God, it's rather unfathomable the reality of how much God loves us. No amount of preaching or reading or thinking can make you realize this to its full extent. I mean, it will help. And sometimes I catch glimpses, just passing glimpses of how much God actually loves me, and it is quite hard to even grasp. Overwhelming. And many of you have had similar experiences, I'm sure, when we just grasp for an instant the reality of that powerful love that God has for us. It's beyond what our minds can truly understand. But every now and then I catch a glimpse. And it is overwhelming. So many hurt people forfeit the glorious status of being a child of God because they reject the very one who can save them. People crying out, yet rejecting the very one who can save them. True communion with God is a beautiful aspect of our Christian walk, looking forward to the day when we will see God face to face. I'm reminded of this. You know, I live far from my family. Some of you may live far from your family. Main line of communication is the telephone, which I enjoy talking on the phone. But I much more enjoy a face-to-face interaction with my family. So that's our experience with God also. He's given us the ability to communicate with him in this life. We can communicate with God above. But what we look forward to is that face-to-face meeting one day when we will be in his very presence. So much better. And that is our hope. So in conclusion, my request to the postal service, the phone man, and the tow truck driver, my request didn't get through. There was a communication breakdown. I didn't get to the right person. Those who are trying to approach God apart from Jesus Christ, those who delve into all sorts of religions or spiritual pursuits apart from Jesus Christ, may be speaking to spiritual beings. The devil masquerades as an angel of light. They may be speaking to spiritual beings, but they are not communicating with the God of the universe. There is a communication breakdown. It's only through Jesus Christ that we can speak. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men. I want to close with the powerful words from Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament. I believe these are powerful words. They speak to us today. It said, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon." There's no pit too deep, no distance too far. God cannot rescue someone who truly desires grace. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you this morning that you have given us the ability to communicate with you, to talk to you. We're reconciled to you, and we look forward to the day when we will see you face to face. Lord, we covered a lot of ground here. We pray that each one here would use that power of prayer, that they would know Jesus Christ. They would seek to know Jesus Christ. We pray for each one here that their spirit would be refreshed and renewed, that they could face the challenges of every day, the challenges of life. Lord, you have given us the ability to meet the challenges through your powerful word and your powerful spirit. And we give you all the glory and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.